This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another week. I hope everyone's had a very good and productive and safe week. So first I want to say salams to my brother, looking very sharp as usual in the other corner. Assalamu alaikum. And over there in that corner is none other than...
It's me, it's Abdulrahim Green. And in the other corner over there, we have our esteemed doctor,
Abdul Haq Baker, and this is
a piece of cake.
How you doing, Abdulrahim?
I'm good, alhamdulillah, not bad at all.
Today's subject, wa alaikum salam, Niamana, and good to see you with us. I'm glad you're excited about today's topic. I'm intrigued. And a celestial trailblazer from the African part of Nigeria. Is there a non-African part of Nigeria? That may be another question for another time, inshallah. So, Abdulrahim, today, subject. Wa alaikum salam, all of you, Sister Anisa, all of you joining us now. Tell me, the subject that we've got today, introduce it for us and then explain a little bit to us about this simp, wimp, or wonderfully woke.
Okay, so jazakallah khair. I think it's going to be a great discussion. It's sort of a little bit going back to our discussions that we've had previously about masculinity. What does it mean to be a real man? And the whole, whatever it is, red pill or blue pill, I can't remember, movement. And the incels and all that type of stuff. So, you know, we're sort of going a little bit back towards that territory. And I guess it will touch upon feminism as well. I think these are really important, interesting points of discussion. I think some of the aspects of what a simp is may not be relevant to us as Muslims, but I still think they will be, inshallah. So, I mean, like, I didn't really know what a simp was until pretty recently as well. So it was one of those things where I came across some memes, you know, on Instagram and stuff like that. And, you know, little videos, you see these little videos on Instagram and, you know, something, I don't know, something about a simp. And I'd sort of heard this word before. I think I had an idea what it was. So I sort of just looked it up to see, okay, what exactly is a simp? And then I thought, wow, this would be a really interesting topic for us to discuss. And I guess from my point of view, I always try to think of things from different angles. I guess let's like first define what a simp is for anyone who's equally confused as you, Dr. Baker, bro. What's a simp? So a simp is just, I guess on the simple slang sort of level, it seems to be a slang word that it's just a person who is so submissive to a woman, even when he's being abused by her and, you know, taken advantage, and he's just totally submissive to it, that every other man is just cringing, watching what's happening. So that on one level is a simp. I guess even further, like a sort of further definition, which is the same thing, but taking it a bit further, it's that when he's like excessively submissive and emotionally sympathetic, and even though a woman will be taking advantage of him and she's not reciprocating, right? So it's not like she's sympathetic to him. She's just, in a sense, abusing him, and he just takes it. And it seems to be that one of the reasons, or the motivating reason for him doing this, and this adds a different angle, is just exploitative. He just wants to have sex with her, basically, and he's using this as a sort of ploy. I'm not sure how it works, because I suppose there is that ploy that you could actually, some women might actually like a man or take advantage of a man or whatever it is, I don't know, who is extremely submissive and will take all sorts of abuse from her. And I guess are there any women out there who find that attractive or would want to have sex with a guy like that? I don't know, because obviously I guess you and me live in a different realm now, which is the realm of marriage and family, and you know that's where we keep these relationships to. But we don't need to be naive. I'm sure there are Muslims engaging this. And I'm sure that also, I suppose, you could just carry this on into the whole dimension of marriage, because for me, it opens up a bigger conversation about, you know, are Muslim men these days very simpish, right? I've seen some of our brothers, you know, who have got a bit of a bad rep for being sort of quite alpha male, you know, on Instagram. I won't mention any names, you know. Although unfortunately sometimes they're just people don't bother to actually listen to what they're saying. Yeah. But you know, this whole sort of thing where men are being picked on and attacked by their wives and they just sort of put up with it and behave in a sort of, I guess, what would be called a simpish or wimpish way. And it's like a lot of people are looking at it and say, be a man for God's sake, stand up. What the hell are you behaving so submissively? So I think that's the whole conversation. And but from my other, you know, looking at it from the other angle, right? And this, so I'm looking at it now from the other angle. Is this from the other angle, however, is this just criticism of men who have now become emotionally intelligent and who are now sympathetic and in touch with women's feelings, as like we sort of have to be these days as partners, right? These binary sort of role-playing models, we've discussed this again. Is this really reality? Doesn't a man have to be, in a sense, you know, he has to be his partner's best friend. He has to be, you know, we don't have that sort of wide network where you can just, you know, like you have to play all of these roles. And so is it just these alpha males who are unable, well, I use that alpha male, right? Not in the real proper sense, but, you know, in a sort of exaggerated sense, these sort of macho men, I suppose, yeah, who are unable to display any type of proper emotions towards women, and are pretty misogynistic. Look at a guy who's actually quite empathetic, quite sympathetic. You know, he's not just going to, you know, tell his wife, shut up or I'm going to hit you every time she opens her mouth. And they look at him and think, oh, you're a simp. Yeah. Well, he's not. He's just a guy who's actually a bit woken up to reality and is in touch with, you know, his emotional feelings. Which one is it, bro? This is my question. And I'm sort of like, we've had such amazing interactions from the audiences as well. I think last week was just brilliant, because it was, for me, it was like I almost got more out of the audience, our listeners, than I did from our own conversation. So that's it. I guess we're opening it up, aren't we, bro? So I'm interested to hear what you think, what your thoughts are, and what our listeners,
And I think, yes, I think you're right. I concur with what you said about last week and the previous weeks, but what you said is interesting in that it's new phrases, new terminologies for things that have existed for years. And you've given a good example of two polarized perspectives, and the misogynistic, macho, archaic kind of perception of men that some are trying to still hold on today is dated and it's wrong. But the pendulum swing to the other side is also an issue. And I want to bring in that, like, before I became a Muslim, I remember when growing as a young man, and my mum said something to me, my mum from South America, Guyana, she said to me, never be a jackass for a woman. This is my mum telling me this. I was like, jackass, what does she mean by? And she meant, she goes, basically, don't be a simp, if you're using today's words. Yeah. Like, just don't be a jackass for a woman.
So what did she mean by that, bro, exactly?
What she meant by it is that do not let a woman take advantage of you, and you become passive, and you no longer know what it is to be a man as she raised me to be a man, or the societal understanding and perspectives of a man. And so she didn't want me to be the other way, because as I've mentioned previously, she said, treat women as you'd like your mother and your sister to be treated. Yeah. I was living in the household. My mum was the one, and the matriarch, and my sister, and my brother. So it wasn't as though she was saying be macho, because if she felt that I was being a bit too misogynistic or dominant, she won't stand for that either. I'm very strong-minded. Yeah, yeah. But she wanted to see men knowing their identity in my brother and me. And she didn't want to see this man who was passive, because he even knew that he had to be that way to get intimate with the woman that he wanted to be with. It's like, if I'm, she's going to give me the cookie, as they would say in American terms or whatever, or that child behaving really well because he wants mum and dad to buy him the sweets that he wants. And men taking on that particular characteristic or that kind of persona, they're acting like big kids in a way, but it's not sweets or other tangibles in that sense. It's the level of intimacy that they want from the woman. And the woman, knowing they want this intimacy, will treat them in any particular way that they want. I know some women have that phrase. I was told this from a few years ago. We knew that treat them mean to keep them keen. Okay. And some women will behave in that way. So, and some men were like, okay, to get what I want, I'm going to allow this treatment to come forward. Or I love the woman so much that I'm going to let her walk all over me and treat me in the way that I want to be treated. And this... Yep. There's a term we had, which I'm not going to use it in this term. This is back in the day before I was Muslim. But this is a type of man. It's the type of man or individual that is not respected by either male or female. Now, if we're talking about someone who is empathetic to the woman's needs, that's different. We're moving now away from either polarization, and we can talk further on in the show about the examples that we see with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, examples of Umar radiallahu anhu, and these individuals. If we're talking about that empathy with regards to the wife's needs, requirements, everything, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But when it's as you have described, you've got this passivity in the man, this weakness in the man. I say weakness in the area that the woman talks to him, treats him as he wants. But there may be a reason for that as well. The man may be so cowed or so fed up with the conflict with his wife that he just doesn't speak anymore. And I'll give you an extreme example, Abdurrahim. A neighbor, when I was living in the UK and I used to live at my mum's, I've moved out from my mum's now. The neighbors across the road, there's a working class family across the road. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. And we all are, most of us. But what happened is she was really loud mouthed. You could hear her. She was really foul mouthed. Everything, the swearing, the effing, the blinding. And there was this really quiet husband. And they'd been together for years. They've got children, son and daughter, not particularly pleasant, but he was always quiet. The husband was always quiet, silent, smiled. Mm. It down, everything. One day I went round to visit my mum and I saw the police cordons there, lines, tapes and everything. And I said to my brother's looking at me sort of incredulous, said, what happened? He said he bludgeons his wife to death. Sorry, tongue-tied. He basically got crazy. And the downstairs in the living room, it was just like a bloodbath. He'd completely lost it with his wife. And whatever the trigger was or whatever the last straw was, was what caused him. Walaikum salam, Brother Jordan. Good to see you with us again. So he'd completely lost it, and he had been that passive, silent, meek individual that had something had flipped for him. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case in every instance, but those are cases where the man has been henpecked. He is henpecked. He is nagged. Okay. And he's lived that particular existence. I won't consider such an individual a simp in the definition that's been given there. So we do need to look at those exceptions to the rule. But coming back to what you're saying about a simp now, and I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
The question ought to be, why would a man in his right mind want to adopt such a persona with a woman? Mm. Again, on the flip side, conversely, why would a man want to be misogynistic, domineering, dominating to the extent that his wife or his wife's voice in this example is silenced or muted, or she is in fear of physical, mental, spiritual abuse from him if she expresses herself? Why would we as men want to be at either end of the spectrum? Willfully.
I think the thing is, bro, is that maybe it comes back to those things, is that sometimes we try to create these, you know, it's sort of a little bit like that discussion we had about mental health. Yeah. my, you know, and I was questioning the whole way that we measure what mental health is in the first place. And it's just like this increasing opening of doors of you know, what was in this book, you know, of what is supposedly mental illnesses is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And like, until things that no one would have thought 50 years ago was even considered to be mental health is now considered to be some sort of, you know, some sort of disease now,
right.
And again, I think it's this, it's almost like this idea that there is this sort of perfect balance that you have to achieve between everything, whereas, you know, maybe it's absolutely fine for different people to have different relationships. And, you know, if it works for them, it works for them. So, for example, look, like, I know that in some African countries, for example, they're very matriarchal, right? It seems counterintuitive. And even though, you know, men may have many wives, but in fact, women run the show, they run the businesses.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're very much in charge. And it doesn't really make the men any less men, right?
It doesn't.
It's just women are very vocal, they're very powerful, they run businesses, and like, no one minds, everyone gets on with it, and no one thinks the men are any less men, you know, because of that. It's just that it's a society that really empowers women and, you know, takes advantage of really excellent qualities women have and employs them, right? And I think just different societies have different paradigms, right? And I guess where we live in the West, where we have so many cultures, we have these melting pots, right? And where I suppose, in a way, it's sort of weird that nothing is supposed, like, everyone in a sense is sort of almost supposed to be free to do whatever they want and be whatever they want and be however they want and live whatever way they want. Yet at the same time, so on one hand, that's this sort of, you know, even to the extent that if you feel like your gender is different or you, anyway, I didn't quite get the whole gender thing, but like, you know, you feel your gender is different, you should be able to express that, even to the extent of having, you know, surgery and changing your gender. That's the extent to which people are supposed to be free to be fluid in how they express their relationships and interactions with each other. That's all I'm saying. That's the only point I'm saying. Yet, on the other hand, we have this paradox that somehow there is this ideal that everyone has to live up to. And if you don't live up to this ideal, there's something wrong with you. Is it a paradox or is it just a plain, simple contradiction? I don't know, bro. So the thing is that that's implicit in my question that I wanted to put forward for today's discussion, right? And I guess underlying it all is that question I'm asking again and again, is that and I just think it's important for us to look at these things through different lenses, because I think it helps us to analyze and to think about stuff deeply. Yeah. And I think that's what's important. I was listening to something really interesting today, and that I don't like this business partner of Warren Buffett. I don't know what I can't remember the guy's name because it was a very brief thing. Some video I was watching. And he said that he never has an opinion or states he has an opinion on something until he has studied the other side of the argument. And he can expound the other side of the argument so strongly that it's actually better. He can expound it better than the person who believes in the other side of the argument, right? And if you remember Ibn al-Qayyim, he's famous for that, right? You know, in his books, when he's discussing fiqh opinions, when he discusses a particular opinion, you know, you read it and you'll be thinking, oh my gosh, so this is the right opinion. And then he goes on to analyze it, why he thinks that opinion is wrong and what he thinks the right opinion is. But he's so sincere and he's so honest in trying to get to the root of why a person is offering a particular position or an opinion, that he sort of expounds it as if he was a scholar of that position himself. And in a sense, bro, I think we should do that with everybody and everything, right? You know, in the sense that we should, maybe it would undercut the sort of viciousness that there can be about stuff and really sort of get to a level of understanding, you know? So, I mean, I would want to understand, why is a man behaving like that? So I'm trying to think, well, why would a man behave like that? Is he because he's a simp? Yeah, is he because he's this just wimpy character? He's not a real man. He can't stand up for it. Or maybe he's just, well, like you said, you gave an example, which is, I guess, an extreme example, but it does allow us to illustrate the point. And that's of a man who's so emotionally abused that he's just become super submissive, right?
Right.
But it could be, it could look in a certain way to an outside observer, but it just may be that this guy really likes this woman. He loves her, right? I mean, I, you know, the thing that got me thinking, bro, is that I look back on this girl that I was crazy about in Jahiliyyah before I was Muslim, right? I was just totally mad about her, yeah? And I remember some of my behaviors. If someone had seen me, they would have said, you're a simp. Right, they would have said that about me, and I looked at it and I look back and I think, oh my god, that's like simpish behavior. Although I wasn't behaving like that really necessarily because I wanted to have sex with her, right? I really genuinely like cared about her a huge amount. I just really just liked her hugely as a person and whatever. And yeah, I guess, you know, as a young person, it's all confusing your mind between, huh?
What you're saying is fine, and Apex Predator, yeah. Just mentioned that as well, that some would say if they saw his behavior that some would consider him being simpish around women, but those who know him know that he's not that, and I understand that. Having been caring from I've been with my wife, as you know, since before Islam as well, and when you become attracted and attached to someone, you're ready to concede ground that you may ordinarily hold and others know you to hold and everything. That's not simpish. But where it is that whatever she's saying and she's doing it deliberately, you can see that she's basically got you around her little finger and she's pushing and pulling and you're just coming backwards and forwards like that because you don't want to lose her or you want to be close to her or you just, that's how you want to be, to exist with her despite how she's treating you. And I'll give you another example, Abdurrahim. When I was at college, there was a young lady there, and beautiful young lady. She had a partner there, nice guy. He was really quiet, good looking, had things going for him. But they were a unit, and she was very loud and flamboyant. And she took a liking to one of my friends as well. Nothing happened there, but she would do things like that, show this interest in other men, move in this direction, that direction. And he just took it. She didn't. I'm not saying anything further went other than flirting, but she'd do that. He'd learn about it in college. We'd be in the college refectory together. And then one day we heard, did you hear what happened to X, let's say his name was? I said, what do you mean? And they were going over Putney. He was going in a cab with her. They were coming back from somewhere over Putney Bridge. The car was in, the taxi was in traffic. He just got out of the car without pausing, walked without pausing, got up onto the bridge, jumped into the river and killed himself. No pause. She was sat in the car, traumatized by that. Okay. And we were, everyone, the conclusion was, look at how much he put up with her, but why didn't he make a stand? Why didn't he do something before like this? So I've talked about two cases where one's killed his partner and the other one committed suicide. Now, the passivity that they adopt, as you said, it may not be necessarily simpish, but I want to bring it to another area where we're in today, where you hear men falling over themselves to say, I am a feminist. I have aspects of feminism.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, I don't get that, okay, from where I'm from. I don't get that. And I don't feel, and some may shoot me down on this, no, being a feminist doesn't mean that you're female or you're like this. I know it doesn't. But when in yesteryear, Abdurrahim, were we asked to say we are feminists, we have femininity in us, or we have feminist feelings and stuff like that? In the same way, when have we said to women, no, you need to show masculine traits and to show you have masculinity in you? So for me, it's like things have become these terminologies, this discussion. The reason we're having this discussion more so now is because roles have become obscured, as we've mentioned before. Roles have become obscured. Someone's mentioned there, one of the sisters, that a lot of women are going out to work and the men are at home looking after the kids. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that if that happens to be the economic setup at any given time. But we come back to what it is. Is the simp the one who is willfully passive, weak, malleable to everything that the woman wants. And in actuality, if we were to close our eyes and close our ears, you'd think that the woman was the man in the original traditional gender roles, and you'd think the man was the woman in the traditional gender role. And I'm going to stop on this point to let you go, because this is evoking a lot of memories. There was an Eddie Murphy movie, okay, I didn't really like it, but back in the day, there was an Eddie Murphy movie where he was the epitome of what is a simp now, because he was, when he was meeting the women, he wanted her to be, she had to be perfect, she had to be strong, and he was malleable towards the women, and he even had effeminate actions and behavior with regards to women, just to make sure he found the right woman. He was, I don't know what the name of the film was, I can't remember it, but he, if anyone, I'm not saying advocating to watch movies and stuff, but if anyone saw this, now I'm seeing that was, that epitomized what a simp was and looked like. And it brings to me in mind, Abdur-Rahim, stopping at this point, one other aspect. We're told by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not to be like the duyuth with regards to our women, not to be like the pimp. And the duyuth was the one who doesn't mind, he's if he's in the marketplace, he doesn't mind all and sundry looking at his wife. When he's out, he's got no ghayra or no protectiveness. And we're not saying possessive protectiveness over it. He doesn't care. Anyone can talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be frank, if you're, it does, he doesn't care if someone has sex with his wife, basically. I think that's the proper definition. And then, of course, it has, you know, you could say lower levels, right? So the proper level of a dayuth is as a cuckold is someone who doesn't, he doesn't care if someone has sex with his wife or not, basically. Right. And then obviously different levels of it would be doesn't care, flirts with his wife, or, you know, I guess whatever, like you could say if you were super strict, like, you know, you know, he doesn't care if someone sees his wife's bracelet, hears his wife's bracelet jingle. It depends on what you want to go down the thing. But some women, you're right. For me, I think that's where a simp, that's what it seems to be, where it would ultimately end up. You know, and obviously we had that discussion when we were discussing about this topic. And I, you know, I've seen some documentaries and stuff like about polyamorous relationships. Yeah. And I do remember seeing that in some of these instances, the guys, to be honest, it seemed to be exactly what they were. They, I don't know if they cared or not. Did they? I'm not even sure if they cared, or they were, maybe they did care, but they were just so weak, and they were so dependent upon this woman. And they, you know, they maybe they could. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's exactly what we're saying. They're so wimpish, right? That they just they were just hanging around because they just wanted their piece of the pie whenever they were going to get it, right? And if that hurt, his wife was going off doing whatever. It's just like either he was going to put up with it, or he genuinely, maybe he didn't even care. And I don't know, because I don't know the Arabic well enough. What does it mean? Caring, does it mean he actually genuinely doesn't care? I mean, I guess there are some men who pimp out their women, literally pimp their women out, right? Well, happily sell their women stuff for a lot.
Again, back in the day, I knew some of my circles. Yeah. Their girlfriends, they pimp them out, and the girlfriends love them that much.
I think that's not what a simp is, right? A simp is not like a simp. Like, I guess that's the almost the opposite, right? Opposite, right? Isn't it? A pimp is someone who is so emotionally detached and so brutal, and so, I mean, like, he does that really basically for money, right? But a cuckold is someone who he's not selling her for money, he's not prostituting his wife, he's not pimping her out. When the Prophet says, when I don't know what the thing means, because a dayuth has a meaning, right? So I don't know if it means caring here simply just means he doesn't do anything about it. Because I guess if you cared, like if you really have iman, you'd pray five times a day, right? If you really cared about your, had some honor towards your wife, you would not tolerate it. You'd divorce that person or whatever. Right.
Then Abdur-Rahim, let's look at a wider context, though. This is excellent where we've got to. How much has society affected this relationship? Because, for example, that simp, he may be that way, or let's say, and the next category of someone being passive, because society so much favors the woman and the woman's rights now. You just have to use particular trigger words, and if he's in a relationship and she complains to the authorities using any terminology, or there's children involved, let's be really careful when we're looking at this now. Let's really focus on this. If you've got children from that woman, for example, and you feel or sense that she will turn at any moment and take your children from you. This has happened to brothers as well, where saying how you're a disciplinarian, for example, or you're strict in, or you've got traditional values, for example, and those traditional values are not in line with today's society. So if you're saying that one of us needs to go out to work, as the man, I'm going to go out and work, I'll do the struggling and everything like that, and she says, no, I want liberation, I want to be earning the bread and doing the money and everything like this, you look after the kids, conflict starts coming in, he's more decisive in things, but the woman doesn't like that, but she goes to society and says mental abuse, domestic abuse, emotional abuse. He knows that's going to happen. He knows that the system is going to be against him.
I think especially that's different though, isn't it?
No, but Abdurrahim, and while it's different, some men have adopted, it's better that I do not resist in this way because I've got too much to lose. It's better that I stay in these circumstances and
but I think I get what you're saying, bro. It's not different. I get what you're saying, but I obviously, I'm sure both you and me have dealt with people, quite a lot of cases of people who've come to us seeking advice, and I'll be honest, I think being a real man, I suppose part of the problem is this. I'm putting myself forward as I think I'm a real man, but I think, you know, part of the tightrope of walking, that it is a tightrope. Yeah, it's that tightrope of being a real man is both simultaneously being emotionally intelligent, yet at the same time realizing, I guess, what Allah says, that your wife and your children, your family, are a fitna. They are a test. They are a trial. Yeah. They're a test of whether you're going to obey Allah or not. And they can be a fitna in many different ways. They can make you stingy with your wealth. They can make you not charitable. But also another part of the fitna is that you can submit yourself to all sorts of dishonorable, humiliating, disrespectful situations for the sake of the love of your children. Right. And listen, I mean, I'll be honest to you, bro, and to everyone. And I guess you might be the same. We might have mentioned this before, and to everyone out there, I love my kids to bits. I do love my kids. You know, when I'm with them, I play with them. I love them, and I do love them. But literally, I can walk out of the door and not think about them at all. I could be in another country and I will not think of my wife. I will not, literally will not even cross my mind. Yeah. Literally, it's almost as if they don't exist. That may be to do with, I guess, the way I've programmed myself to live, to be a person, and I mentioned this before as well, who is living very much in the experience of this moment right now. Yeah.
Right.
I believe in experiencing the intensity of the present. And I guess when you are experiencing the intensity of what you're experiencing right now, you don't have room to be thinking too much about, you know, what else. But I guess there are a lot of people, you know, I think I could do that. I could literally switch off. I could walk out of my family tomorrow and not think of them again.
And many have done that.
I can switch my mind off like that. And I say, and I've said to people, they say, oh, how, what is that? I said, but don't men have to be able to do that? How do they fight wars? How do they go to fight battles? How do they go out hunting and, you know, you may never return? Surely after thousands of years, Allah, you know, of human development, Allah has made us like that. We have to be like that, right? So I think this is part of the thing, is this is a fitna. When you say to me, oh, this brother's doing this and this because of his kids, and he loves his kids so much. And it's like, be a man, right? What, how did you get yourself to that position that you are that attached to anyone or anything, right? Be attached to Allah. That's what I would say. Be the only one that you should be that attached to is Allah and your relationship with Allah. Nothing else is worth it. Not your kids, not your wife, not your whatever, right? And I guess I trained myself, bro. I would sometimes sit in the car thinking, what if my kid died? What if I, you know, got home and my kid had choked on a, you know, fishbone? Right? It could happen. Well, how are you going to behave, Abdurrahim? Right? Are you going to scream and wail and like you're going to be depressed for the next 20 years and this and that? So it's like you train yourself for these things to realize that Allah could test you with anything. How are you going to behave? And that's one of those things, right? And if you're not like that, if you don't train yourself to be like that, people will take advantage of you.
Exactly. Now, Abdurrahim, what you're saying, what you said, you mentioned that previously as well. And we are similar. When I travel.
Oh, wait a minute. Someone said that is not from the Sunnah. What's not?
If they're saying it's not from the Sunnah, then I'll bring that. Remember, one of the things that we know that Shaitan whispers to the Mujahid on the battlefield to make him weak is he tries to stoke memories of his family while he's away. Okay. So what you're saying, I relate to that because I'm similar. When I've traveled, I only speak to my wife because I'm not going to focus on my kids. Just want to check that everything's okay. And as you said, I'm in the moment. But there's another thing as well. I mentioned to you before. I think I've mentioned it to you before. If not, I mentioned now. I'm not sure if it's the same with white men or Asian men or whatever. But sometimes in black cultures, people say about absent fathers. No, many of us are present. But I can relate or understand when a man says, actually, enough is enough. I don't need to tolerate or to cow to certain things that are being put on me. I'm walking. Now, I'm not saying that that's the responsible thing to do, but I can understand that logic in I'm not going to succumb or to lower my standards or, and when I say standards, maybe that's not the right word, my sense of self, my self-worth to behave in a way that is not becoming to me and not becoming to me as a man. And if this is what is required by my wife, by the environment that I'm in, to simp up, as it were, I'd rather ship out.
Definitely.
Because really, at the end of the day, fantastic questions that have been asked. And one of the sisters, Ibtisam, asked a question, is the modern woman making or producing simp men? And I would say, looking again with the support of society and expectations of women, which has moved away from what we know of previous values, traditional values, yes, there is an element of today's woman.
And I think one of the comments, bro, said, one of the brothers or sisters commenting says, and I guess it was a sister, saying that she knows women who want simps. They actually look for them, right? And they perhaps they're very busy women in powerful jobs, I suppose, and they just want some man they can boss around, and they're quite happy with that. And maybe the man is quite happy. He they both have their physical needs taken care of, right?
Or dependency, Abdurrahim. I'll give you another example. I know these examples. A sister moves from a relationship, a brother and sister break up from a relationship because he is an alpha male. Balanced, maybe more strongly on the masculine side. And initially the woman wanted that because of the absent father and wanted somebody to care for her. But as she grows, okay, and this has happened a few times, sisters that I've met, brothers in the circumstances I've come across, as she grows, she becomes more independent, society affords things to her. So then what she wants, someone who's needy and dependent upon her. He could be have a drug habit. He could be an alcoholic. He can be someone who's poor with his money. And he always comes. And if you remember that movie, what's the movie called? I can't remember what it's called. But one of the actors, he played that simp role really well, not only with the women he was with, but he also showed that dependency that he needed to get that money, to get his drug and everything. Samuel L. Jackson played that part. Brilliant. I can't remember what the movie was. But he played that brilliantly. He simped up, and basically, when he needed that thing.
Oh, you're getting a hang of this word now, bro.
I am.
You didn't even know it. Now it's like a part of your vocab, bro.
You know us from South London. We
simped vocab, up, bro.
He simped up to, and basically became how that woman wanted him to be. So the sister saying that women want simps, they want
some
that
do, because yeah, they want some.
some women, they want them dependent upon them. They want them dependent upon them, needy upon them, because it validates them. That's how they feel validated. If you're not that, and you're independent, and you've got clear demarcations as to who you are and who she is in your life or whatever, they feel insecure.
Yeah, she needs a puppy, not a man.
There you go. Thank you, Trust. She wants a puppy, not a man. And so basically that neediness is something that validates her. And there are some men who are like that. And there are some men who are ready to play that part to show, I'll be that needy man for you. So that's problematic, because it's not only a man being that, it's the woman requiring that to feel validated.
But then I would put the other point, let me put the other argument, bro, is that why do we have to judge this guy, right? Maybe he is just ready to meet her emotional needs and it doesn't bother him, right? Why is that a problem? Why is it a problem? Is it a problem simply because you and me have preconceived notions of what it means to be a man and how people should behave, and we're imposing them upon other people? Because at the end of the day, if he's happy with it, if he's ready to put up with this stuff, right? Because maybe he is woke and he's emotionally aware and like it doesn't bother him, right? In the same way, bro, look, how many sheikhs, yeah? You and me, bro, no, we've been around the block lots of times. We've been around a long time, yeah? How many sheikhs in the past and probably until today, yeah, still advise our sisters who are being beaten and abused and mistreated by their husbands, oh, be patient, put up with it. Look how Asiya was with Fir'aun, this and that, whatever, right? And wait a minute, how many sisters put up with it? How many sisters put up with their husband's abuse, emotional, anger, temper tantrums? I've definitely done it, alhamdulillah. Hopefully I haven't done it. Yeah. I definitely haven't done it all the time, yeah. But I mean, look, I guess both me and that happens anyway to human beings. But like, for sometimes it's a man's doing it all the time. It's like, you're looking at it and you're embarrassed. You're saying, why are you talking to your wife like that? And she puts up with it and she's very passive. He may even be going, having affairs and this and that and whatever, and she'll put up with it. And she'll put up with all of that. Now, you and me can say, oh, well, what are we going to say? In fact, many sheikhs would say, yes, good sister, that's very good. You should be like that. You should be whatever. That's exactly how you should be. Be patient. But if a man behaves like that, it's not acceptable. Why should she? Why? Why is it acceptable for her to put up with it, whereas a man shouldn't put up with that? Who says?
Yeah, very true. And that's a good point. I think Matteo asked the question, are we confusing hikmah and wisdom and patience for being a simp? I don't think so, Matteo. With hikmah and patience, that's a totally different paradigm. Yeah. It's good that you've asked that question, because we have to be clear here. As we started off, Abdurrahim, having empathy, having understanding, having a conciliatory approach with regards to our partners and then with us, wives and husbands, there's nothing wrong with that. What I want to be really clear when how I've understood simp today is that overarching passivity, where she can do absolutely anything, and even if you want to resist, you choose and opt not to, to appease her, to be everything she wants to be or wants you to be. And that's the key thing here, what she wants you to be, okay? Yeah. And don't get me wrong, some would say, well, my wife buys clothes for me and she likes me to dress, wear certain clothes. That's fine. I like that. My wife does that with me. But I've met met individuals who, men, who they've never bought their own clothes. And they tell me, so their underwear, their socks, their clothes, they say to me, my wife buys that, she chooses my clothes. And they're sort of smiling at me and I'm sort of thinking, what the hell? So I said, my wife buys.
Oh, you know what, bro? If you got terrible taste and you can't match a shirt with your pants and your wife can do it, then
no, it's not that, Abdurrahim. Abdurrahim, I knew these individuals before and they are sharp dressers.
Oh, right.
They know what they want to. So my thing is like, hold on. You used to dress dapper Dan. We respected you back in the day for the dressing and everything. And now you're telling us you've consigned all of that to history and you're what? And you know what, Abdurrahim, I have to say this now. if you see some of the garments that they're wearing, like they're wearing skinny jeans when they've got beer guts, for example. And so my wife likes to see me in this. And I'm thinking, you don't look good. You're wearing stuff. You look constipated. What you're wearing, you actually look constipated. But they're doing that to appease it. And I'm not saying that means it's your simp. So brothers, they may be brothers, they may be sisters.
Yes, you are, bro. You're saying, just be honest, that's simpish. Simpish. Bro, that's exactly, that is it. You got to be honest, bro, because that is the definite, like, I'm not saying he is a simp, yeah? And I think, like, with a lot of these things, we can obviously spot simpish, what we might call simpish behavior. It doesn't mean, like, any one of us could be simpish about something sometimes, yeah? Right? And, like, I think clearly what you want to say is, bro, in this instance, you're being simpish, yeah?
Yes.
Grow a beard, yeah? Be a man and, you know, like, you know, dress yourself, right? I think that's what you want to say, honestly.
No, that's right. I think
not that he's a simp, right? But in this particular area, right? Yeah. I guess that's what it is. I mean, that's a really good illustration where that's exactly what it is, where you, someone like you, is looking at that. And like, it's interesting because you know how that guy was in the past. You know how he used to be. Like, like I said, yeah, well, you know, and you said, no, bro, he was a sharp dresser. He used to look good. And now he looks like an idiot. And his wife's making him wear that. And that's exactly it. You feel uncomfortable. You are looking at him and saying, bro, what is happening to you? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what being a simp is about. When yes. when other men are looking at him and his behavior and thinking, that's it. Oh, look, I'll be honest, bro. I know that one of my dear friends, yeah, mashallah, beloved Sheikh, you know him well, by the way. And really, honestly, he's one of the most beautiful human beings I know, mashallah. But I know that probably deep inside himself, and he would never say it, but he looks at the way, the amount of time I spend in the kitchen cooking, and like sometimes I will cook all the food. And look, I actually really enjoy cooking. I actually really enjoy it, yeah. And like sometimes my wife is like exhausted, she, like whatever. So I do like, but I know some people will look at me and say, what are you doing? Like, what a simp, yeah? Like, get out of the kitchen and let your wife get in there and do her job. And I'm sure deep down inside people are looking at me and my behavior and thinking, like, this is too much, Abdurrahim. Even he will say to me, this is too much, Abdurrahim. This is too much.
Now, see, Abdurrahim, but that, what you're saying there, for me, that doesn't equate with simpish, being simpish at all. Or being
no, I can simpish. Honestly, I can see how people would think it is, though, bro. Honestly, yeah, from certain cultures, they would look at it.
Then we've got to look at what construct are they thinking about?
A culture where a man doesn't go in the kitchen, like man is not allowed in the kitchen. Some cultures, women do not let men in the kitchen. They will literally kick them out. It's like, you want something, ask me what it is, don't come in here, this is my domain. Get out of here.
Culturally, yes, I understand that. And as you said earlier on, from culture to culture, the definition, like, for example, we know in, as you said, in some African countries, the men are sitting around smoking and drinking, and the women are in the field. I've seen that, and the women in the field plowing the field. And if you said to the men, you go out, and the women come back, they said, no, our husbands are useless. Jokingly, they're useless. This is the thing that we do. Yeah, obviously, the men, that is the matriarchal aspect of that particular society. So you're right when you're talking about culture. But now I want to move to the point, because with the other part of what we do, is it wonderfully woke? Now, my question is, what does wonderfully woke mean? And to be honest with you, I don't want to be wonderfully woke, because that, again, is almost similar. It obscures being simpish and wonderfully woke. I think they're almost one in the same thing.
No, but I would say, you see, okay, to be honest, bro, I hate the term woke anyway. Yeah, because it's a misuse of the English language. So when someone says woke, I say, no, awakened is the right word to use. So that's the first thing, like, stop messing up the English language. Woke. I like hate that term as a term. But I think woke means, like, in the sense that, you know, you move out of a very binary understanding of how people are and their emotions are, and you just become a little bit more open-minded, to you know, I guess, to different ways of living. And I guess that's what it comes down to. Like, so I could say that, look, here's the crazy thing, bro. Here's the crazy thing. Yeah. The same sheikh, I think, honestly, right? Despite he may look at me and think, yeah, you're being a simp here, right? He would actually really like his daughters to live in a house like my house. He wouldn't want his own daughters to be subjected to his right. version of what he thinks right. and how he thinks things should be, right? Because you look at it and you think that's not a nice way to live, because the daughter will go to university, she will study, she will get a degree, yeah? And that's what I'm saying, bro, right? Is that on one hand, the weird thing is that a person will be thinking, oh, what a simp. Yet at the same time, you'd be thinking, well, I wouldn't really want my daughter to be living in this sort of macho world that I have. And I guess that's the realization when you have this contradiction. And that's one of the beautiful things of, you know, getting married and having kids. And one of the great things about having daughters, daughters are such a blessing. And especially if you love them, it opens your mind up to what it means to be a man. Because you start right. thinking, what sort of husband do I want for my daughter? Exactly. Well, wait a minute, what sort of husband am I for my wife, right? Yeah. Am I the husband to my wife that I want for my daughter? That's a yes. good question to ask, right? And genuinely, you know, I always try to think like that. I honestly, genuinely try to treat any woman in the way that I would like my daughters to be treated. Yeah?
And after him,
and you know, it's a bit weird, bro.
That huh? isn't weird. What you said is really
important. It is a bit weird because you know what? Like, I really struggle with polygamy because I always start thinking, like, if any woman reminds me of any way of one of my daughters, it's like,
yeah, no, that's
find it really weird.
Yeah, that's, you know, really, like, trouble when that happens. But what yeah. you said, like, for example, as you know, four of my daughters are married, mashallah, including my stepdaughter, yeah. and the last three of them, mashallah, all three of them spoke to me. Really nice what they said. They said, Dad, my last one, the oldest one, wrote to me recently. She said, thank you for showing and teaching us about what a man should be, a strong man, and a strong man in the sense that we can be ourselves and we are empowered. And we want to yeah. thank you for that. And you know what, Abdurrahim? That just hearing those words and in different ways from the three daughters over the 6 months. And yeah. seeing the husbands that they've married strong men. But those strong men, you should see how much they're in love with my daughters because of their independence, intelligent, empowered. Yeah. And they've seen this is the father of these daughters. And this is how he's raised and nurtured them. So what you're saying is absolutely right. And it brings me on to the next thing, which is look at some of us as men. Some of us married sisters.
Yeah.
And we wanted that idealistic, we had that, I'd say, abstract understanding where we said we want the wife to be in the home, not going out, cooking, doing all the dishes, this. We wanted that. And then what happened, Abdurrahim? Those of us who are more, let's say, intellectually astute and require more engagement, we saw the changes in our wives thinking that that was what they wanted to fit into being the perfect, ideal Muslim woman. And then when we met other women, maybe in work, maybe in the public space, and they could be Muslim. They might be a little bit more liberal and open-minded. They've got their careers, they're working, they've got business, they're more outspoken. And suddenly our heads turned like, I want something like that. So, and then we start acting more simpish because of like, in order to move in that direction, I can't behave like I've been behaving with my wife and the rugged and the traditional man. But in order to move into this and engage with this more intellectually outgoing, empowered woman, which we've not no longer wanted from our wives, we have to become more simpish.
I mean, I mean, what can I say, bro? Mashallah, it is. Absolutely. I had so many things spinning in my mind as you were saying that, and I was trying to read the comments as well. But subhanAllah, definitely. And to go back to that whole thing about about the family, and it's very true, bro. What you said is absolutely true. But yeah, what I wanted to say is a powerful man is never afraid of a powerful woman, right?
No.
And who is more powerful as a man than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And let me ask everyone here, who did he love the most? Who did he love the most? And he would say it. he would say it. He used to say that he loved Aisha the most. And she was very powerful. She was an extremely powerful woman. She used to argue with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would sit there arguing, right? I mean, the arguments would become so bad that the story when the Prophet called Abu Bakr in to arbitrate, you know, subhanAllah. I mean, so she was extremely astute, extremely intellectual. Like they said, there was nothing about the deen that they had a discussion, except Aisha knew something about it. She would have some piece of information. She would have something to contribute. She was a scholar, you know, subhanAllah, extremely intellectually astute, mashallah. Real powerful men want and love and cherish, you know, powerful women. We forget this, bro. This is something we forget. And by the way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was not out giving dawah or in a ghazwa or teaching or whatever, he was at home serving his family, sewing his own clothes, milking the goats, cleaning them, whatever, helping his family, serving them, right? That's right. How the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was.
And doing that, that's right. And the strong man, for example, some might think, look, you and I can afford to maybe put our clothes in the dry cleaners and get things done and all this sort of stuff and say to our wives, do the iron and everything like that. But following the Prophet ﷺ's example, do your own ironing, which I don't think anyone can iron better than me, actually. So no one does it in my house. Even my wife will say, no, I'll do my ironing, I'll do my shirts. And
it's therapeutic. One brother said he loves it. He says it's like meditation. It's therapeutic.
In that sense there, why not alleviate, take things from our wives, take things from that we can take on our shoulders. And that's not being simpish in that way there. Empathizing, having empathy. I'm not the best one with empathy in every instance, but being attentive and conscientious, this is very important. Being conscientious doesn't mean you're a simp. Being conscientious means, I don't even use the term woke, it means that you are aware, you have cognition of those feelings around you. You are cognizant of their feelings and everything. I just want to come back into Sabreen because it's a bugbear for me as well. Yeah, seeing a man, wearing skinny jeans, and he's not skinny because his wife wants him to wear skinny jeans, and you're on my age and everything, and he's walking around thinking he looks really cool, and he's got this boyish hairstyle, and it doesn't suit him, it just makes his head look even fatter than it ordinarily is, and he's doing that because his wife likes that. That's simpish behavior.
Yeah.
And he's our age, and he's wearing no socks in his shoes or anything. And sometimes socks without shoes is okay, it's fashionable. But he's doing that and thinking he's 20 or something years younger, and his wife's enjoying him being like that. And I have to say to you, sister or non-Muslim woman who's in that circumstance, what are you thinking? You know,
bro, that's it, bro. That's what this podcast is all about, bro. Let it rip, bro. Fire those shots. Just get it off your chest.
I go out. I'm out with my wife, Abdurrahim. I'm going out, and I see these individuals walking with their bags, feeling really good about themselves. And I'm like, my wife sees the look on my face straight away, and she just goes, "Oh no!" And I'm like, skinny jeans. He's about 50. He's walking around with his wife, and she's ordering him or girlfriend, and he's doing yes, and look, and I'm thinking, you look really peculiar, and that's the polite way of saying it. Then they give you a look, and they give you a look of disdain. They look at you like, what's his problem? And there's that man code, like, don't you know you look like a complete jackass, to use my mum's phrase. You look like a jackass, but they can't see it. So my thing is, let's say this, Abdurrahim, simpish behavior, or what appears to be simpish behavior when you're showing empathy, when you're showing conscientiousness, as long as it doesn't become the dominating characteristic, that I'm just going to be this passive, wimpish, simpish individual who, unlike my friend, and if he's watching this, I'm going to have a real good talk with him when I come back to London and say, I'm sorry. If your wife is telling you to wear stuff that is glowing, tight, and it does, and glowing, you don't have glow. A
not just tight, but glowing. Back. Now that's it, bro. Tight is one thing, but glowing. I draw the line at the glowing, bro. Not pink.
No, the upgrade. Pink is okay. Pink is cool.
Yeah,
you can wear it. But what I'm saying, if you're wearing this gold glowing silver stuff, it's tight,
silver.
And you don't have a six pack anymore, Abraham. You've got a 12 pack, and you're wearing that, and you're walking around all
the one pack, bro. The one pack. I got a one pack.
I can't. You've got me the hysterics now. The one, exactly. And you think you're looking now? You are, gentlemen. You are the epitome of a simp. If that's what you're doing, I think we need to move away from simpish behavior. We need to move away from this misogynistic behavior. We need to come back to the nuanced behavior where empathy, everything. Yeah. I've said this already a few times. And as you've mentioned, Abdurrahim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his behavior with his family, how he was in the home. Umar ibn al-Khattab, and remember a Sahaba was going to his home and he could hear the voice of Umar's wife raised against him. And he walked to him, and Umar spoke to him, and he said, he didn't know that his wife spoke to him. Like, and he said, these are our wives. This is how we discuss. We basically argue. And that's Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. The one who, when Shaitan is walking down one side of the street, the Prophet told him no one would dare, because Iblis would dare call Umar ibn al-Khattab a simp.
Yeah.
Shaitan crosses the road. But simpish behavior, and brothers, gentlemen who are watching this, stop simping up. It's not good for us as men. It's not good for the women as well. And ladies, please do not expect, yes, we want our men to, you want the men to validate you, but let them validate you because of the qualities that you possess. Let them validate you because of your self-worth and your self-assurance in that way. Don't make them into toys. Don't test them to say, if he's like this, then I'm going to show him.
You know what it reminds me of, bro? You know these people who walk around with those little dogs? You know, those little show dogs?
Abdurrahim, I'm seeing that today. I'm seeing 6'4" Russian men and other men built, and I'm walking along the canal here where I'm living, and I'm seeing these little dogs that look like rats, okay? And they're walking along with them, and I'm looking. Now, I remember back in the day, we used to walk with Rottweilers, Dobermans, but you've got these little, they're smaller than Chihuahuas.
Yeah,
and the Chihuahua was called Abdurrahim. So that now, and then you know why they're doing that, Abdurrahim? We know why. We used to say it's the pull factor. So they're walking with the dog, then they see this nice lady walking down the road as well, and she, and along the beach, along the canal, and she's got a little dog, and the two little dogs start wagging their tails.
That's simpish, bro.
And so he's showing her, look, I'm with you. I get you. I'm simpish.
Bro, you've got it, bro. Listen, or to all our listeners to this podcast, Abdul Haq, until this week, did not know what a simp was. And I'm telling you, Abdul Haq, Dr. Abdul Haq Baker, literally, he has enlightened me now about what a simp is. I mean, I think this is going to be the go-to podcast on the planet to understand what a simp really is. From the mouth of a guy who didn't know what it was last week. Mashallah, he is writing the definition. It's that big Russian, 6 foot Russian guy walking down the road with something smaller than a chihuahua.
Exactly.
To impress the women, right? Who emotionally abuse him anyway. That's it, bro. Listen.
You're a good teacher.
My size is big right now. And talking of it, I think they want me to cook dinner now, bro. So I've got to go.
Well, I'm not going to call you a simp, Abdurrahim, and I'm not going to say you're simping up. Bro. I'm going to say that you're having empathy and you're conscientious towards your family. Just like when we take our wives out, say no cooking today.
The pizza. I'm the only one who can make the pizza. And my pizza is so good, by the way. No one even wants to eat pizza from outside the house. So come, inshallah, you're going to have some of my pizza, inshallah.
Definitely. And as long as you don't put the apron on when I come round.
I don't. I very rarely wear an apron. I just get my.
What do you mean very rarely? You shouldn't wear an apron at all.
I don't, bro. My dad used to, and I'm telling you, my dad was not a simp. Definitely not. All right, bro. Listen, it's been as usual an absolute pleasure, bro. It was a slow burner, this one, but mashallah. And as usual, alhamdulillah, the more you guys listening get involved, the better it gets. We had some great comments here today as well. I don't think we gave full justice to the comments, but bro, we got to get going. So,
likewise,
for me, Abdulhakim Green, it's been a real pleasure. And from our beloved brother over there,
it's been a pleasure. We did not expect that we would be. Take calls in each other to fall about in hysterics, but it was necessary. There's a serious side, is still there. Listen to that as well. And from us, it's been a piece of cake, and we will see you next week. Jazakum Allah khair, and thank you for all those who've tuned in. And salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.